Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus came into the district of Judea and across the Jordan. Again, crowds gathered around him, and as was his custom, he again taught them. The Pharisees approached and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" He replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment. For from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined, no human being must separate." In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I feel quite confident, sisters, in guessing that your thoughts are on Ireland today, just as mine are. And it would be silly to preach on anything else other than what we're going to be offering this Mass for, offering all our work for, praying the rosary for, and all our other intentions. The Word of God has a lot to teach us about how to live this day and beyond well. First reading from the letter of St. James was written to the first Christians at a time in which Christians were suffering. So he was describing perseverance, not just perseverance against the people on the outside. St. James, with a surgical scalpel, was addressing the issues within the Christian community. And throughout, he was showing how to persevere in doing good, to make sure that the yes that's been said to the Lord continues to echo and to grow stronger rather than become attenuated. So he gives us some important dynamics. Don't complain, brothers and sisters, about one another. A lot of the times we can focus on the bad. The first Christian response is to focus on the good. It's focus on what we do have rather than what we don't have. It's when we obsess about what's not there that we begin to complain. When we focus on what's not there and what we think God should be giving us. When we focus on what's not there in another person who might drive us a little mad, focus on what's not there in ourselves, and we build up self-hatred. To begin by gratitude to the Lord. Today, as we face the situation in Ireland, one of the things we should be thinking about is how many intrepid, strong, faithful people there are in Ireland who have been working like crazy on the Eighth Amendment to retain it. We start there. We pray for them that their work grows and is efficacious. Jesus tells us this so that we not be judged, because the judge is standing before the gates. He's on this side of the gates, not on the opposite side of the gates of death. And so just remember, always imminent. And we allow all that type of judgment to Him. Our task is to love always, not to judge. One of the reasons why we're in some situations across the world is because many people, including many drifted away Catholics or even ex-Catholics look at Christ's body as one gargantuan finger pointer. That's why the Holy Father's words, "Who am I to judge?" made front page. Because people have the sense that many in the church, all they do is judge. What they have to see in us is all we really do and obsess about is love people. Love people. Because we love people, we want to help them come out of the imprisonment of some of the sins that enslave them. But it comes with love, not judgment. We leave the judgment to the Lord. And that can sometimes affect our own interior relations. And that overflows into something that really harms. When we look at the situation in Ireland, the bishops have been fundamentally inert. Why? Because they think if they speak out forcefully, it'll backfire. Because of decades of times in which so many have been guilt-tripped by those they've looked to as Catholic models, not just priests and bishops, but also members of their families. And so they've had to go silent. We're constantly asked over at the UN, why isn't the Holy Father saying more? Because in this particular circumstance, the judgment is that it really wouldn't help. Because so many don't want the church controlling their lives, and so it can't be an ecclesiastical thing. It has to be a thing in which we recognize who this child is, and you don't have to be a Catholic to respect the right to life of that child. We've got to persevere in this effort, which is why St. James tells us, take as an example of hardship and patience, brothers and sisters, the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Think about all those prophets. They never quit. How many setbacks they had. They never quit. Some of the times, they complained very heavily against the Lord. But when the Lord converted them, they persevered until the very end. The Lord's always asking us to persevere. Indeed, we call blessed those who have persevered. You've heard of the perseverance of Job. And you have seen the purpose of the Lord, which is an interesting phrase. And then it immediately follows it up, because the Lord is compassionate and merciful. What is the purpose of the Lord? It's ultimately salvation and sanctification, which is His glory. The purpose of the Lord is to show His mercy on all. And His mercy will be here, up or down. St. James finishes this section by saying, let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. As I may have explained in the past, the letter of St. James is one long commentary on the Sermon on the Mount. It almost goes point by point with regard to what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount and how the first Christians weren't particularly living it well. We have got to constantly remake our yes. Every day we wake up, we should renew our priestly promises or our baptismal or our religious vows to make that yes even stronger, to make that yes to the Lord, to make that yes to others, so that our yes might be the overflow of love. Two things from the gospel that help us. The first is one flesh union. Jesus talks about where children come from. Here comes from God's having joined people in one flesh. That one flesh union does not refer merely to the physical contact between a man and a woman as they make love and conceive a child. It refers to the child, who is that one flesh fusion of the man and the woman. But there's a connection between the two. God joins in both circumstances. one of the problems today is that that has been reversed. People don't want God to be the one doing the joining. They want to say, I will join with whomever I want. And once sexual union begins with that premise, it's a premise of separation from the Lord that overflows. So just like there is no one flesh union joined by God in many of these circumstances, so at the same time, there's no union with God even when a child is conceived. One of the most important remedies, therefore, is to focus on God's role in all of this. Again, not in a judgmental way, but in a real blessing. It's curious, when I prepare couples for marriage today, couples in the church, I give them 12 essays. One of the questions is, what is marriage to you? When I started as a priest, you'd get okay definitions in terms of one, a man and a woman who make a commitment to each other for the rest of their life, or something like that. Since 2004 in Massachusetts, they never mention man or woman, which shows the educational power of the law, even among Catholics. But beyond it, over the course of repairing almost 400 couples, I could count on my two hands the amount who have ever mentioned a sacred bond. It's just not in Catholic mentality to state that when they talk about marriage. Eventually, you can draw it out of them because they believe that God has this bond, but it's not at the tip of their tongue or the beginning of their mind as they discuss it. They approach love and marriage subjectively rather than theologically. And there's an issue with that. The most important aspect of marriage is that bond that God makes, which is why marriage is indissoluble, even when the couple happens to lose that loving feeling. But without this notion of God's action, everything starts off on a wrong foot. And so that's why we can't approach these types of things in isolation, because it is connected to the way that we view how God involves himself as a blessing in all our activities, including sexuality. When we seek to be the ones in control, joining with whomever we want, there is a disconnection in the joining. And that, unfortunately, can metastasize. And that's one of the roots of abortion. It's too bad that the World Congress on Families is happening after May 25th rather than before. But we will see, because the two are totally connected. And the last point I'll make is about hardness of heart. Jesus names what was the issue, that there was great hardness of heart among those who were religious, the people who were coming to the Lord to ask him questions, even to test him, to see if he were really worthy of their greater attention. Moses permitted divorce, Jesus says, not because it was God's will, but because of the hardness of your hearts. You refused to accept, and he worked gradually to prepare you for the upcoming Messiah, step by step. You can't reform all at the same time. But this hardness of heart is the chief spiritual diagnosis that we have to deal with. There's a hardness to God's voice. And that hardness to God overflows in a hardness to others. But so many people's hearts have been so wounded by suffering and lack of love. Others are hardened by fear. Others are hardened by lust. Whatever the root of it is, that hardness of heart is something that has to be cracked. And the only way that it is, it's not by Jeremiads. It's by love. It's by love. That's the way conversion occurs. So win or lose today, because it's going to be close. Would that we at least have something like in Ireland and every country where there was a real struggle for this, because there are only 7 countries in the world that don't allow abortion. We would love to be able to actually have a debate among people rather than have the courts take it away. But there is a lot of hardness of heart out there that can only be melted by our receiving the Lord's love and our bringing that love out, by their receiving that love of the Lord. Thanks be to God, all of salvation history is about a heart transplant, in which God seeks to remove our stony hearts and replace them with a heart of flesh, a heart that's capable of receiving His love and pumping it out. Today, we ask the Lord for that heart transplant, invoking the Holy Spirit to come on down, so that we, recognizing how much the Lord reverences our life, can become the salt, light, and leaven, so that others, through our good example and our prayers, might reverence every human life. Today, as we pray this Mass, let's remember that Jesus promised us that whatever we ask the Father in His name, the Father would hear. So the Father's going to hear our prayer. Let's also pray that others will respond to what God wants to do. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.